You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 235 of East Centralian's favorite podcast. Jeremiah Morrill here, joined by a houseful tonight. We've got Mason Rottinghouse in a co-host chair, a long time contributor. He's been gone since, I don't know, June or July.
It's been a while.
Producer Zach is here, but he's also video producer, executive producer, director of everything that we need, except for turning the lights off.
Hey, Kevin, can you stand up and turn the lights off right behind that flag, please?
Don't let him boss you around.
I forgot while starting the feed, getting the recording going, running
doing
around.
Everything getting... else for us. On his left, camera right, is his twin brother, who looks nothing like him. Jared Burcham is in the building. Welcome back. You got the nerves out of the way. I think you've done two Patreons with us, but this is the first time on the real show.
I'm trying to figure out if the doesn't look like Zach part is a compliment or...
Well, that's up
that's
to
a
the,
dig at somebody.
That's up to the viewers.
We're more similar than normal right now because we both have similar length beards.
Yeah, you look as close as you ever do at this moment. And then because it's a holiday and I like playing the role of danger, my father-in-law is off camera with a microphone in his hand. Because nobody else wanted to babysit him tonight. And
thanks, Libby.
And the last time, and by the way, he's been served a 62 ounce margarita down at the El Chili Poblano. Or is it Los? Los Amigos? I don't know. But as I'm describing this, the Music City Bowl is getting ready to go to overtime or Purdue's going to lose.
It's no good.
The last time Kevin hung out in the studio with us, he didn't have a mic. So this time it's going to be better for the audience.
He's going to hook left. He's not going to go
probably going to be right. A train wreck. The kick is up and it is
wide right.
Wow. I think Mason's watching on Twitter. I think Mason's watching on Twitter before it streams over here.
No, I got a friend there. He's streaming on Facebook.
Anyway, this show is about our lives in rural Indiana. You're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes they'll provoke you. Other times they'll make you laugh. But hopefully... you will always learn something new. Zach, I skipped over your portion there. What are we going to talk about tonight? And did you review the show notes that I had ready?
I did look at
7 hours ahead.
I did look
at
the show notes. I didn't check the individual links. I commented on something. Basically, it's like almost all COVID related stuff because COVID's taking over the world again. Some of the things are kind of side effects of COVID that some people might not be aware of or thinking about. Just craziness with used car market is absolutely insane.
That's by special request.
Yeah.
Jared invented that topic tonight.
And it turns out that the Brandon maybe isn't as bad off as he thought he was. Last week, things are turned around for him in the new year. And then just if you want to get – can you find out if you even have COVID? I mean, is it possible to check right now? Getting tests seems to be a little difficult at times. But
we just did a Patreon. And I think it went well for the normal chaos we have without having Dakota, our OG co-host here, who's I think he's celebrating his 38th birthday this weekend. I lose track. He's aging very quickly in front of us. His natural age is like 23, but his soul age is like 76. So it's somewhere in between.
It's a mix of dog years compared to real years.
It's the human years.
When you go to bed at 8:30,
so
it's going to happen.
We do need to say thank you to Christy Avery, John Phillips, and Anthony Meyer, who support this show at $50 or more every single month. The Patreon is a voluntary way to fund the program. Very, very limited commercial ads. So the network has a couple of ads in the show, but we don't stop and throw a bunch of ads in here. It is entirely supported by the patrons. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not a patron, I kind of call you a nasty word at the end of the Patreon episode every time. So if you want to know what I'm saying about the people that are on the other side, you might check in there and have some fun with it. So, all right. So COVID, as kind of expected, COVID has made a bit of a return after in the post-Christmas era.
A bit of a return is an understatement.
The state of Indiana had their number one day in COVID positive test results, and I think it would have been higher if people could have found tests.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a bit of a pain this week.
It's been insanity. Even where I work in an office, the governor is my boss at some level. And on our first Monday back after Christmas, if you test positive and are vaccinated and showing symptoms, they will let you work remotely. And they packed 9 people up on Monday.
Wow.
And almost all, and there's one unit that's almost entirely wiped out. Like they had one adjudicator out of, I think, 9 or 10 in the building on Tuesday.
You say if you test positive and are vaccinated?
And are vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, you can't come to work and you have to burn your own time. That's their incentive to be vaccinated.
See, that's how a lot of places are doing it, except it's not so necessarily burn your own time. I guess you could for the week if it lasts longer than that. But after that week, a lot of people's short term is kicking in if you're not vaccinated.
But they're just like, I keep headphones on and listen to stuff, but the cart just kept rolling by. And there's only about 50 people that work beyond my desk. Like we're in these pods and
in 5 of your coworkers were gone in a day.
And then they just packed up the girl next to me. This is the most unnerving part about it, was they just packed up the girl next to me and they didn't say anything to me.
Well, thanks for coming into our little world today. So, 17 minutes after we started broadcasting together, and you go, "Hey, girl next to me, I think she had COVID."
How far do these mics stretch?
It was like what? I asked her, but they didn't say anything to me. They didn't say anything to any of her coworkers. They didn't say, "Hey, this is why we're packing her up." And so I asked her, I was like, "Did you test positive?" She's like, "No, I just have symptoms, which is the cold." She has she's stuffy and she's congested. And she's just like, "They have so many people have tested positive this week that they just said, go home until you feel better." I'm like, man, the way this weather's been lately, I'd come back about June because it's just the weather's been awful.
Don't tell me come back when I feel better.
I mean, hearing that, Zach, I'm not sure how you aren't feeling stuffy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I trust that's the thoughts come to mind. But
lots of Zyrtec, lots of Robo. Yeah, but
when is the last time you guys paid any attention to the color code map? We haven't talked about that in weeks, if not months.
Actually, about three hours ago, my wife mentioned, wow, and I think she is home, part of the time now, and actually watches the news. I've been working too much, I don't get to, but she kind of pays attention. And today she's like, wow, Indiana has, I think it was 12,000 new cases or something, which is an astronomical number compared to what, probably 6 months ago or 4 months ago. It's all kind of a blur at this point. But that was the most, I told her, for us, it's not that COVID's kind of over, but we're now just in the routine of you're just careful if somebody has, and generally everybody's honest. If somebody doesn't feel good, well, all right, we're going to avoid them for a few days. Like, it's not this COVID talk like it used to be. We're just kind of trying to move on. But when I work solo, I work around only a couple guys, maybe, where Zach's in a very large office. And I hear about, that's how I figure out that stuff's going really bad, when Zach's like, "Yeah, I've been watching this cart go by all morning. I think all my coworkers died." And that's where I'm like, oh, maybe I should check the news and the numbers.
So I looked today for the first time in ages, and Henry County's orange again. We're level 2.5 on the 3.0 scale. 3.0 is red when things are supposed to go to hell. Because today there's a major basketball tournament, yesterday and today, in Newcastle. Yep. The Crossroads Classic was the girls played yesterday. Today was the guys. And I'm like, I thought that had something to do with schools. You get to a certain level and you can't go to stuff. And I know we've had the struggle of them not happening. But we're a level 2.5. Neighboring Madison County is a 3.0. So I don't know if that's triggered remote learning or whatever the hell is supposed to happen up there, or if we even care anymore. I don't know. But we're back to a 2.5. And what has been affected has been football. Lord football.
Yeah.
The NFL.
It gets serious when it affects football.
The world fell apart this week when Carson Wentz got COVID. He got the federal government to change the rules, and it went from a 10-day quarantine to a 5-day quarantine, so that if Carson Wentz is feeling okay, magically he could play football on Sunday in front of young Mason.
If that wasn't changed, it was going to be just like last week, or was it the week before, when games got rescheduled. We had a game every day of the week because we had more people on our roster than the Browns did.
Yeah.
And all it takes is a player to be vocal to make Roger Goodell look like an asshole for things to get changed. Because that's what Baker Mayfield, Roger Goodell is his puppet and has been since he's been in the league. Whatever Baker wants to happen, it gets pushed pretty far up to the top of the NFL.
The quality of football for the National Football League last weekend was preseason level. I think you had fourth string quarterbacks playing.
Yeah. I mean, it's been interesting the past couple weeks anyways. COVID and the whole sports scene's been crazy, but this week it really, I mean, hell yeah, the Colts played without 8 starters and then we lost 3 to injury. We were down. At one point, we had 14 players on our COVID list and 9 of them being starters. So it's like.
You're a season ticket holder. Did you think, the hell with this, I'm not going? I don't want to do this anymore.
I definitely contemplated selling my tickets for Sunday's game if Carson wasn't playing and then Darius still was. But she got activated today and Quentin Nelson got activated yesterday. Paris Campbell's back into practice after injury after week 2. So. This Sunday, I think Carson plays Sunday. They're just going to keep saying Sam's going to start just for that safety net. But I think if Carson isn't showing symptoms on Sunday morning, he's going to be taking the first snap of the game.
To me, Zach, I've almost felt this COVID wave coming just by watching the NFL and how busy the reports have been coming out saying this many people on these teams, because they're one of the few populations that are getting tested constantly and they're trying to be careful. So if they're whatever careful precautions are being taken for the NFL players and they're still popping, I'm like, there's no way in hell after all of when you get 25 people together in these family kitchens that are, 600 square foot houses with 25 people in them, we're not going to have this massive wave this
week. And did you watch the episode from last night?
Yes.
Did you see the little trackers that they pick up every time they go into the facility?
Yeah, the NFL players are all wearing a tracker in their pocket.
And they're always carrying those trackers with them for close contact. That started last year. Yeah, I didn't realize that. And that was pretty cool. So I sat there and read up on those trackers for about 20, 30 minutes last night after that Hard Knocks episode. I was like, they've got it down to a T. I mean, if anyone truthfully wants to know how to, be precautionary about COVID, watch NFL.
And I know Jeremiah found an article a couple weeks ago, and it was a doctor breaking down positive cases and vaccinated versus unvaccinated when last vaccination was.
Looking at the Washington football team.
He was making even the argument about boosters, because he said the positive cases they're getting are maybe vaccinated, but they're not boosted, so they're more than 6 months out. Right. Mind you, just over the weekend from Christmas, so many people posting on their social media about, well, this isn't the way I wanted my Christmas to go. And a lot of drive-by Christmas waves and stuff. And you're like, I mean, this was the most I'd seen it. I'm not sure how many of those people are sick and how many people are going to the hospital, but so many people that were having their, last year, people volunteered to not do Christmases as a family. And this year it was not a voluntary thing. It was, I've got X number of people in my family and they've tested positive the week before Christmas, so we can't have our Christmas the way we wanted to do it. And so I saw more of that than I've seen of any functions of it being at least a chosen necessity based on people having it. So,
and then this week, the media reports have started saying that you can't find a take-home COVID test. And it got me looking because I wasn't really aware of that issue. I have been very reluctant to buy a COVID test or to buy them and keep them at home because, one, I don't want to spend the $70 or whatever it is for a 2-pack of them just to have it, because they have such a short shelf life. I think they're only good for 60 days or 90 days or something. So I've not bought any and had them in the house just in case. But they're apparently, the Indy Star had an article that we put in the show notes. If you're a patron, by the way, you get the show notes dropped in every day for you. Today you had them by 10:45.
Yeah.
There's a fellow who said, Ray Redding said on Monday he conducted a 200-mile radius search for at-home tests to purchase at CVS, Walmart, Target, and Meijer, hoping to be cleared to attend a Christmas show with his mother and dad, and nothing came up. So this guy says he looked online at 200 miles around Indianapolis, which means he was looking from Chicago to Cincinnati to Louisville to Toledo and damn near to St. Louis and couldn't find a COVID test.
I think he was a little bit misled. But my wife bought 2 that day at CVS in Newcastle.
A lot of people are going to those home tests now.
And it's less than...
Well, and I would argue, though, the home test is convenient. But, and considering the spike in numbers we've seen,
But those don't get reported, right?
No. And around, and I live in Indianapolis, and granted we have some more testing places, but the lines haven't been outrageous.
Right.
You know, if you're able to get out and get a test, you know, and especially if you're planning to head for Christmas, you know, I maybe would have had an appointment made ahead of time.
Just got randoms walking in off the street, Zach.
It was just an arm, actually. It wasn't even a person.
Well, and part of the thing, too, is like the test.
Kevin, go smell that. See what
is that?
I think it's a bomb.
Hey, yeah.
Kevin
knows who dropped off, probably. But like part of those, the tests you get here, because I had my kids tested there one time. If you get the test like Wednesday, you might have had it back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so the rapid test would be like, my wife, she took one of them, and you know within like a few minutes or whatever, I forget how long it took, whether or not you had it or not. But yeah, she was able to, I think she was like $23 for two of them. I know I'd read something that the government bought a half a billion of them. I don't know where those went.
Well, they're not supposed to be available until January, but I don't know how to get them. I don't know how to sign up. Can I get, I mean, there's what? 300 million people in America, 300 million people in America. So I guess each person gets one and a quarter. I don't know how that's supposed to work.
Maybe it's my wife took one because she just woke up. She's like, I don't feel very good. And she's like, she was stuffy. And so she's like, I'll go get a test just to check. But it's our, you know, check local listings. Our weather here has been garbage. And so people just don't feel good. It's 60 one day and then it's 30 the next, and we're going to have another drop, and it's just been not been great weather.
And don't forget, it's been super damp.
The swallow's damp. Pepto. Really good. Just chug some Pepto.
So what I learned today, my sister got her booster shot in the old Rushville Main Source Bank, First Financial Bank, People's Trust Company, whatever you want to call it, on the north side of town, has been turned into like this COVID care center on the north side of Rushville. So it's very convenient to us in Newcastle. You zip down 3 and apparently you can get there. And they're doing the COVID shots, but they're also doing testing. And I didn't realize that you can pre-schedule a COVID test weeks, months in advance if you want to. Or it's just like the scheduling system is to get your shot. And I had no idea. I didn't know how you got one at the hospital. I figured you had to just go get in line and hope that they were swabbing you. But apparently you can just sign up. And I could have had one today if I wanted to in Rushville.
Yeah.
So because we're a little bit more rural, maybe you don't have the trouble that they're talking about in Indianapolis, where there's reports of people waiting 2-3 hours in the rain, yada, 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 to get their tests.
Well, that's where I wonder if somebody that's, I just want an at-home test. But
that was for a rapid. In Newcastle, there were appointments today to get the one that takes 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But you could get a rapid test or the other test in Rushville today.
Well, and the people that are complaining, I couldn't find an at-home test. Well, did you drive by 7 places doing rapid tests?
Right.
And you just were dead set on doing yours in your, you know, in your car.
The only times I've done a test, I think I've had 2 of them, and it's been through a urgent care. And the urgent care place in Newcastle was letting you, their website seems to have changed this week as well, which probably because they're getting so damn busy. Now their website isn't showing that they have tests, but they'll give you a shot. You can get a shot, and then you can ask for a COVID test as well. But it wasn't just like, hey, yeah, I want to get a COVID test, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The ball keeps moving. Zach, you said you were trying to get through this whole thing without having to take a test. Are you still?
I'm still on
testless.
Yes.
I've done one.
I watched him give one to my 5-year-old, and that was enough. I'm like, I don't know if I could behave much better than he did while they tried to scrape his brain with a Q-tip. So
have to do it to yourself.
Yeah. I was surprised. I thought later, cause I had to get mine way late. Finally, somebody that I work with, and I said, I only work around a few people and not every day. Like today I was by myself all day, and somebody finally was exposed. So I had to go get a test, and I thought, man, we're way past that brain scrape thing. Right. And then I show up to a military post in Lawrence, and I watched 3 people get the, you know, 9-foot Q-tip to the brain. I thought, well, here we go. And I held it together. Mason, did your team win? I held it together.
The Boilers won. Like
Purdue came back. Look at that.
Well, aren't they happy?
Oh, all those engineers are not watching right now.
Dancing on the Tennessee Titans field.
Been there.
We've been great if we saw Garth Brooks there.
For a little bit. We were there for a couple hours. Just got rained on.
Just visited. Got wet.
Just got wet. Listened to 60,000 people sing "The Thunder Rolls" when it thundered.
I watched IndyCars race from the parking lot.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Anyway,
it's not as bad as you think. It's definitely a strange sensation. But when you have a guy that's got this like 6'7" with huge hands. You're like, well, at least it's not his finger, and it didn't seem so bad. But I wondered, when you talk about the sports, nobody was concerned until the NBA canceled the game, and then suddenly the COVID was real.
Rudy Gilbert, what was the guy's name, Mason?
Yeah. Rudy Gobert.
Who started the whole thing?
The French kid.
Yes. Nobody paid attention until the NBA did, and then it's like, well, if they're willing to throw money away, and I think it's ironic that here we are, what feels like 10 years later, and now we're like, oh my God, the NFL's closing down? What?
The NFL hasn't closed down, and they've...
But they're awfully close.
They've been playing a lot of...
no fans.
Yeah.
They're totally spaced out.
Limited players.
I don't think they'll do no fans, though. You know why? Because they don't care.
Well, that was
they really care now because if it affects the ability to host, to have the game.
I'll tell you what, if they say, yeah, we're actually going to go back to COVID rules next year and only have, 60 fans in a 120 fan area, I'm going to say, go ahead and give me my money back because...
No, and that's why they won't do it.
You want to be drunk and affect as many people as possible. You don't want to just...
experience.
You want to spill beer on three rows.
They won't give you your money back. They'll just tell you that they'll hold on to your money for the next
season. They'll refund you. They've already said that. I'm getting a lot of stuff out of this year, more than I got last year.
You're supposed to be getting us information because don't you sit in front of the governor?
I can't share that information with anybody.
You shared a selfie with him.
Yeah, wait.
Our conversations are on the low.
Can I give you a list of questions/demands to give him?
Yeah, how
dare you?
I'll go up to him Sunday. I'll say, this is from Zach Burcham, Newcastle, Indiana, Henry County.
He's actually a government employee. You can affect him directly.
Actually, just go to his quad.
Zach's calling you down.
Walk over there,
Mr. Governor, if you'll come down.
Hey, go to the game in a Todd Rokita shirt and see what he says.
you'll get thrown into the parking lot.
He touches me, that'll be a scandal. I'll be the next governor.
We'll have the state policeman do it.
All right. Let's move on for a moment. Take a very brief respite from COVID for this may last 20 seconds, and we're going to be right back into COVID talk. We can't help ourselves. Mason Rodinghouse, do you know who Brandon Brown is?
He's the guy who won the one race, and they were chanting, FJB, but... Reporter said it was "Let's go, Brandon!" Right?
Yes. Kelly Stavis heard "Let's go, Brandon!" And last week on the show, on the program, we had the open letter from Brandon saying that things have gotten way too political. I want to be able to speak my mind, but I don't believe in this. And we felt sorry for him, Zach. We had some of us had empathy.
Some of us did feel sorry for him.
Some of us had empathy. This week, today, 10 a.m. today, he had a sponsorship announcement. He has been fully funded for the 2021-2022.
Is it by Black Lives Matter?
NASCAR Xfinity Series. And this is not a gay thing.
Brandon Lives Matter.
I look at this and I want to say LBG something, but it's not.
It is LGB coin.
It's a new decentralized meme currency similar to other meme coins and tokens such as Dogecoin and Shiba Inu that has achieved market capitalization of more than $300 million in 6 months. The patriotic coin, dubbed America's coin, aims to inspire positivity and unity grounded in a strong belief of the American dream. So, Brandon Brown is being sponsored by a Dogecoin knockoff
named after him
a week after saying this was the worst thing that ever happened.
This might be the most American thing to ever happen. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
So they really did start this on the back of
the
controversy.
It's LGB. It's the Let's Go Brandon coin.
Have you looked at the side of the car? He's standing at this and... It is said this morning, the team reported that he is good. They have gotten the car paint scheme approved by NASCAR.
The red, white, and blue.
And they're good to go.
Checks cleared.
And now there's some news that's come out saying that maybe, just maybe, the team ran out too fast with that and that it's not approved.
I mean,
and NASCAR says,
oh, they've actually gotten pushback. Brakes.
Yeah.
It might be worth investing in.
All right. So, yeah, hold on. So where do we time this with national outrage on buying into this? Okay. For one,
there's already been one response.
And we need Jesse Riddle here. What is a meme one?
Yeah, great.
Compared to I was barely on board with the crypto.
Dogecoin is a meme currency, it is literally designed to be a joke. So that's what they call
it. It's a dog.
Doge is a dog.
Yes.
And that was literally supposed to be worthless, and it took off because it was the to the moon, whatever. After the meme stocks, AMC and a couple of others.
Yeah, GameStop.
Just them pulling the line, basically. Yeah. All these companies that are on the verge of going out of business.
This was our distraction from the pandemic.
Yeah, those are throwing their money into it, so it, like...
Well, they were killing short. They were getting shorts.
They were killing all these people who know the ins and outs. It's just really screwing them, all the...
Yeah. The average guy was coming out on the losing end. Yeah, that was a very big deal with... And I'm forgetting the investment group. Dakota was a customer.
So Bob Hopgrass, so this story, and I, as much as we didn't want to get into this, it is literally like all sides of the shit we cover on Boss Hog.
Yeah.
It is politics. It is racing. It's cryptocurrency. It is like, this is like goat yoga all over again. It comes along and we have to talk about it. So Bob Hopgrass is a major NASCAR reporter. I think he works for Fox Sports. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
And this morning, 9 hours ago, he said that they have the full season Xfinity sponsorship, and it's Let's Go Brandon themed. And the team said NASCAR approved the paint scheme. Later today, Jim Utter, NASCAR beat writer, says NASCAR has not approved it. Adam Stern says that, in fact, NASCAR has been eyeing banning political sponsorships completely. And if that's the case, it will doom the deal.
From a realistic standpoint, I see the political aspect, but how are they claiming that it is a political sponsorship?
Because NASCAR themselves made into a
because political. Of the LGB portion of it.
Because Let's Go Brandon coin
is actually
it's a political statement.
Yeah, go
ahead. You know, I'm just making the pragmatic argument of, well, we're a cryptocurrency. We're not political.
It's just a coincidence. You know,
like I could come up with a doll that's called Dumb Democrats.
And this article got sent in the group this morning. You know, I'm half out of it anyways. I see LGB. I said, who's getting sponsored by the LGBTQ? I said, who's? I said, what? And I just closed the app. And then I got here and I said, Brandon. I'm like, oh. So, yeah. Like, some guy, you know, just got pulled that sponsorship of the LGBTQZY.
So I wondered in the chat when, like, I didn't realize that he was really. He went from denying to seriously embracing this.
Well, he's
now.
Just like, oh, this is negatively affecting my life.
It was until I got this massive season sponsorship.
He didn't launch it in 2 weeks, right?
This had to be in the works.
Works when he writes that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gets the attention. They said, how's this going? And, okay. Yeah, because this doesn't come.
When he thought it would negatively affect other sponsorship, he was against it. Right. Now that it has turned into sponsorship.
Now that it's his final choice, now he's like, I have to do it.
Yeah.
I still think... All right, look, we had gunbroker.com on things, which, Kevin, I'm sure you're probably a customer.
I'm a member.
But, there have been some very, you know, Trump's had a car. We've had all kinds of crazy sponsorships in motorsports.
Well, okay, now hold on. If Trump's had a car, how are we now denying political sponsorship?
Well, they want to do that going forward. There have been political cars for years.
Yeah.
Whose was the Trump car?
Probably Corey LaJoy.
Is Paul Tracy storm racing? Oh, anyway.
No. SRX, maybe. But yeah. Yeah. It even says it got a market value or capitalization more than $300 million in less than 6 months. It wasn't 6 days.
And they're going to spend how much of that on NASCAR? I mean, that's impressive.
I don't know what a nationwide.
Yeah, what's a nationwide ride cost these days? That can't be cheap.
10 or 15 million?
Yeah, 5 million, 10 million bucks. We've long heard that auto racing is a great way to launder money.
Yes.
So now we're just going to openly do it.
And we've heard it from the best at laundering money.
With meme coins.
Yes. It's like a double. It's like it's like laundering it twice. So how long till all this is so offensive that we can bring tobacco money back? That's what I'm looking at. Come on, IndyCar.
Yeah, Marlboro never did you this way.
No, come on. This is
that
nothing.
Joe Camel car was fine.
Yeah, we all know smoking's bad. Let them spend some money.
This screams to me. We're going to have this car is going to be on the track through about March, and then they're going to run out of money. It's going to be this big run up. Assuming NASCAR says it's fine. The Mason Rodding Houses of the world are going to buy $20 worth of LBG coin, let's go Brandon coin, and then it's over. Like, it's going to have one big run up, and then it's going to go bankrupt. And then it's going to be, well, that was fun.
You don't think they can turn up enough money for the whole season?
I wouldn't have announced the full season unless the check had cleared for the whole season.
Well, yeah, and that's why I think it's interesting.
But it's a team that has
they said whole season. Maybe. We've seen how many Trump hats sold, and I still see a lot of dumb flags. They still sell.
The problem is
But I think at the end of the season, I think you're right. They will have some bad press will come along with it, something, and they will lose steam.
NASCAR wants to be open for all. They want 100% of America to attend races and care. And when you do a sponsorship deal like this, you are appealing to maybe 40%, maybe 30% of people, and you're hoping that a handful of them actually spend money on it and it goes somewhere. But it is like, this is the parlor crowd. That's the only people that are going to do this.
Yep. Yeah. I'm genuinely curious as to how much of, I want to see the Venn diagram of those, the parlor crowd and the crypto crowd. Because like, I don't have any, I still don't quite understand crypto enough to be like, yeah, I would throw money at that. But
well, no, and that's an interesting point. Cause yeah, I can see the parlor crowd, they're not going to believe something that they think, I mean, it's not really tangible.
They have to go find. They have to go find their millennial grandkid to explain it to them as to what's going on. What is this?
Like, after you fix the time on my VCR, can you explain this crypto?
They should have announced this just before Thanksgiving, so that the kids, so that the grandma and grandpa had two shots at the kid.
Yes.
Of getting him to buy some LGB coin.
After you program my remote, can you please buy me some of this NASCAR sponsorship?
Could you buy me $100 worth of this Let's Go Brandon coin? Because I need to tell my buddy at the coffee shop about it.
Missed a window.
Kevin, are you going to buy some?
Yeah. Kevin already owns 1,000 shares
of the Let's Go Brandon coin. Even Kevin's out.
He's not even listening. That's how little it's doing for him. He's not even listening. Beginning.
Kevin, would you buy like Tombstone coin or something?
Yes.
Also,
yes. We gave you a microphone for a reason, Kevin.
It's on.
He already lost it. I think it's in his hoodie pocket. We'll probably hear him fart here in a little bit.
He's busy. Good Lord. What a distraction.
I got to hope we hear him snoring in a few minutes. It'd be just like we're camping, but warmer.
It's
put something in his stomach. He'll fall asleep in about 30 seconds.
Be careful. He's going to try to build a fire over there.
Yes.
So
table, Kevin.
Here, I want the prediction. Does two sides. Do they make the track at Daytona? Do they get on track at Daytona? And do they get to Homestead at the end of the year? We'll start with Jared and work our way around.
You know, I want to say they're absolutely going to get there, at least to Daytona, but man, how far away from Daytona are we? I mean, NASCAR has a short off season, but
we're about 6 weeks away.
Yeah, month and a half.
God. And now that you've made it political, Jeremiah, back when it was just a money thing, it was fine. They're going to hear this, and they're going to be like, oh, crap, I don't know.
Mike Elton is listening.
I'm thinking, because this kid needs it, they're going to make at least two races, and then we'll see what happens after that. People are going to be desperate for some racing. They're going to roll with it.
John Andretti had the Victory Brand Tobacco sponsorship, and that lasted all of five races, and that wasn't political.
See, I think so, too. I feel like two is a decent guess. Zach, what do you think?
I think he gets to Daytona. I don't think they qualify.
Oh, well, no, why didn't you talk about them actually running?
Wait a minute.
He won Talladega. They don't suck.
That's true.
I mean,
the kid can drive.
He's not running the Cup Series. This is Xfinity. They're a winning plate track, whatever. I'm not questioning that. It's just the money to get on track.
The money to get there, yes.
Yeah, I think they get to Daytona. They don't get.
I think that's an interesting
take. I don't think they finish the season. I wonder how much money they spent on getting the wrap and all this PR stuff done instead of like, well, we didn't buy new uprights for the suspensions because we look at that wrap, though. It's real purdy.
Yeah.
The Talladega car is still good.
You want it's that or a new Facebook page?
Yeah.
Mace?
I'm going to say it goes the whole season.
Goes the whole season, makes the chase, season. Wins the championship.
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that.
Did you read that off your Parler account?
Yeah. I can't even download that shit no more. Come on.
You know what? It's interesting that Jeremiah brought them up. I started getting emails from them last week.
I got a text this
and
week.
And I signed up for them here as a joke. I sat in on the Patreon, it's haunting me.
I think they hit him up during the show last week.
I
got an email from them today.
The app store, you cannot download it.
I got a text on Wednesday. Parler accounts, Melania Trump's first limited edition NFT ends 12/31. Won't be re-released. So if you want Melania's NFT, you got to buy it
by tomorrow.
That's a
scam in itself.
Once again, Parler needs to send out the Brandon Brown tweets. Like that's or the text, not the tweets. That would be a competing thing, but the
Yeah.
That's the distribution list they need. Buy your LG Let's Go Brandon tweet coin Doge rocket right now.
And you can buy like $35 or more and you get a free MAGA hat.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking, you throw in a hat.
Yeah.
I mean, come people, on. People, or a beer koozie. Why are you going so expensive?
People throw love in
a beer
hats.
Koozie. Shoot, I might sign up for a beer koozie. I'm not even a fan of the kid.
I think the kid's fine. A year ago, we've talked. Yeah. This is the third different time we've talked about Brandon Brown.
Yeah.
First time was his slap in the car as a shady used car dealer, which is great marketing. The second time was when he won the race and he accidentally, this whole thing happened.
I guess, and then
the open letter, and now it's continued to this. I have a soft spot for him.
Yeah, he is.
I have a soft spot for him, but not good.
And he hasn't actually said anything particularly stupid.
And by the way, he's not Matt DiBenedetto at Phoenix, the last weekend of the year when he was in his final race for the Wood Brothers, he embraced Let's Go Brandon. And then he had to apologize for it tomorrow, the next day on the internet. It was over. He had to say, I'm sorry, shouldn't have done that.
And where's he at now?
Thinking he's out of work.
But where did that come from? Did that come from NASCAR itself, or did it come from?
Oh, could have been Penske. Could have been Wood Brothers.
I mean, truthfully, I already knew he was on his way out of Woods Brothers. So, I mean, I would have just said, you know,
when you take a stance like that, and then whether he likes it or not, he believes any of that or not, there's a whole bunch of connotations that come with that and things that you believe. Then corporate America doesn't want anything to do with you.
You're radioactive,
and so that's
the problem that Brandon talked about last week was like, he's not going to get Walmart. He's not going to get, he's not going to get Home Depot to sponsor his car.
I mean, and this is a wholly unrelated thing, a couple years ago, Connor Daly got caught up in something that his dad reportedly said like 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And Lily
canceled his sponsorship.
He lost his ride
over
the sins of the father, over a
mistold third party retold story. Yeah.
And
in
absolute
horrible context. Like it was, the story wasn't told correctly. It was
a misquote.
It was told in a way and in a place that never should have been done, but that was lamey. That wasn't a Daly at all. But it was tied to his dad, and then Connor loses a good sponsor that made sense. It was a Lilly Diabetes sponsor. He's diabetic, and
for his first major NASCAR race,
yeah.
He was going to run Road America. I think
that's how sensitive the corporate. I mean, people in any sport, if you want to complain about athletes or drivers or anybody, and they don't say anything, they can't do anything, it's because corporate America is very sensitive, and if they say the wrong thing, then they're done. Yeah, they get.
I said you just touched on it, and I know where, because we all three just listened to the same group of podcasts this last 3 weeks. But in racing, you know, our Dinner with Racers guys talk about it's not the PR and it's not the publicist that is telling the driver to be a robot. It is the sponsorship. It's not even the teams. You know, they talk about Penske Perfect, and that goes to a level. But there's probably a point where it's beyond Penske.
It's Shell Pennzoil. It's Verizon.
It is now sponsors who are just scared to death of having, which they should embrace a little bit of media in their name. Because, you know, if you are sponsoring the driver that throws his helmet at the other driver in pit row, well, guess who's getting an extra 4 days of coverage? Yeah. But they are scared to death of it.
It's good for, it depends upon the company that you're in, right? If you're a gas station, if you're an auto parts store, probably okay. Yeah. If you're mainline and you are,
if you're appealing Verizon, to everyone, yes, exactly.
You don't want that, right?
Yep.
But if you're gonna get a guy that understands racing and you're the O'Reilly auto parts car, no problem at all if you throw your helmet. If you're Will Power and you throw the double birds, Verizon's not very happy.
Even throwing your helmet's one thing. It's what you say, and then who you're throwing your helmet at, potentially, or why.
If you're Tony Stewart, or Lord knows, kill a kid in New York.
Or if you make a political statement,
just don't.
Yeah, you've pretty well signed away the futures.
Well, that's enough racing. Let's talk some politics again.
Wait a minute, that was racing.
I'm sure Brandon's going to have a fine super speedway car. And if everybody else doesn't crash again, he'll be just fine. And he'll have a chance to win the Daytona 300.
I hope that Bernie sponsors a car and not Bernie Ecclestone. I hope Bernie sponsors a car and then they crash into each other and they just finish next to last.
Full
and then we'd have that
full
argument.
Talladega Nights.
Yeah, we can just have that argument.
I tell you what, honestly, that would have been great. If you had a Trump versus Sanders car,
yes,
a Trump versus Biden car, wheel to wheel at Martinsville for the win.
And the hood of the car is just
their
Bernie
faces.
Sitting in that chair, you know, that everybody used for the memes. Like, come on.
If you only the most scary thing is we're wrapping up our final show of 2021. That Bernie picture is not even a year old yet.
I was gonna name it, but I didn't want to do like that side thing. If somebody says, "Hey, you want to know how long of a year it was? This picture is 11 months old, and it's a picture of Bernie with his mittens sitting at the inauguration.
And it feels 11 years old.
And it feels like that is like...
It's been around forever.
Yes, it's just part of... It's old. It's done. It's been done for months and months and months and months. It's been replaced by millions of memes, and that meme was this calendar year. Like,
I mean, let's be honest. Do you guys remember the beginning of COVID?
Yes.
I had an event that marked it. So, but that still doesn't feel that long ago. And it is I've been married. I've had a child. I have changed jobs. I have a lot go on. And it still feels like it was not that long ago. And now we're coming on the 2 year, and I had it ruined. I figured it out because I was at work on a Friday that I was leaving for an IndyCar race. And my wife texted me and said, they're canceling the race due to this COVID thing. And I said, past eight. Bullshit. Bullshit. And I got on my phone at work and had to figure out. And then we took the weekend trip anyway because we'd already taken time off work, but we were going to St. Pete. And that was, and I thought, wow, this will be temporary. My God.
Didn't get back to the racetrack until the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insanity.
Burned how many tickets? How many reservations?
I still got 3 sets of Indy 500 tickets from 2020 and I never got to go to the race.
Yeah, I got mine too. Mine's in the glove compartment of my car.
I finally got to the race about October of that. Did we get to? Yeah, October.
Mid-Ohio. We still got 4 races. Yeah. Magically, we got to watch 4 IndyCar races.
2020, who won that? Was that Takuma Sato?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to go get that 2020 ticket signed by Takuma Sato. By Takuma Sato?
Yes. And he's very hard to find because he's so little, he disappears in the crowd.
Well, I'm short too. And
good luck.
We're going to be one of like 100 Takuma Sato.
Now, he's a teammate with a guy I know kind of personally now, so I might be able to hook you up.
I'll give you mine. Take it. It's in a blue envelope still.
I believe that, on that ticket, it's Simon Pagenaud.
Yes, see, on that ticket. I got the Sato ticket signed by Sato.
Oh, I don't want the Sato. I want the 2020 race
ticket
that he won signed.
All right. Well, come we can get that done in May.
I just heard that discussion too. That's a weird thing with Indy 500 tickets, where you have a guy sign it, and it's not the guy on the ticket. You normally have the guy sign it who won the race, and the previous winner's on the ticket.
Right,
it's a weird thing with 500 tickets.
I want Norman Pagenaud to sign.
Yeah.
I want Norman to sign it.
I know where to get you one of those just blank stamp pads, and just be ready all the time. Absolutely.
All right. Follow IndyCar around. All right. Student loans are, this is another story we've been advancing. When Sean Rao was here, we discussed this, Zachary, and your student loan payments were going to be due again in February. And President Biden says, no, that'll never work. We're going to push it back another 90 days because the job market's tough. People can't keep people have, they don't know where to get work. They're short on cash. So we're going to buy them another 90 days.
I think this is his way of forgiving it. He's just not going to erase it. He's just going to push it off where his term, it's never due. Never due during his term. Then he's going to push it on the next president and say, see, I erased it.
I for hate 4 that you're years. Right.
It's going to get pushed.
This has happened, I
January
think.
January 2025.
This is the 5th time that they have pushed this.
Yeah. Yes.
90 days at a time.
And you mentioned that you guys paid.
We got out of the student loan business. We kept making our payments. We put every time they sent us more money we just chunked it at that and we're done with it. So
I'm still sitting on loans. I couldn't tell you the last time I was in school, but I'm still sitting on some loans and I didn't go that route because we did, we paid other stuff off, but it blows my mind that, and frankly, I'm in a good enough job now where I could have afforded to pay those. But when I would try to log in and even throw money at it, I half the time couldn't get into my account and you can't call the government. Lord knows. I mean, Zach wasn't in his office for how long? These people they don't go to their work.
Nope. They're not in the real world like us.
Try getting a passport at the beginning of COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor timing, yeah, sir. Poor timing.
What's the more absurd thing? That you were trying to get a passport or that you thought that they would let you go anywhere?
Yeah. Yeah. Where were you going with that passport?
He put his request in before COVID popped.
I put my question, I think it was February 6th.
And then February 8th, COVID hit.
And then, we had hopes and dreams in February.
Like, end of February. No, I'm not going to say end like February 8th because when was St. Pete's? Like
that's February. Is that a February or March race?
It hit March.
It was early March.
This
though,
year
right?
is February, but previously it was March.
Previous March. So you were 30 days.
Yeah. Then it was
30 days out from stuff.
No warning. It said you'll have it back. And I think it was something like you'll have it back in 30 days. So, okay. Whatever. 60 days.
He mailed away his birth certificate, by the way, everybody.
Yes. Mailed that away.
Oh, yeah. That's the fun part. And they take forever to get you that back.
All that back. Well, then they come in two separate things. Yes. It's not like you get your passport before you even get your documents.
Yes, and that's how mine was. I got my birth certificate back a month after I got the freaking passport.
Yeah. And so I sent all that off and then I hop on there and they're like, we're experiencing delays. And then I finally found out that they only process if they are in office. They don't process if they're not in office because they don't want to, they're not allowed to take that stuff home because of
confidential information.
PII. So they're like, well, we can't take none of this home, and we're only in office on Tuesdays.
He applied for it on February 28th, 2020.
Yeah. Nailed it.
February 28th.
Was it 28th?
Yeah. I just found it.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Because I mailed it out at my house, and I have a copy.
COVID was like, welcome to America, right after
I need a picture of a basketball player blocking another basketball player, because that's what that was.
I get my passport the week before we go to New York
because that's what you needed it
and
for,
I get the passport
we're going to go across to Canada.
Yeah, and then like a month before we leave for New York they're like, Canada's closed, you're not coming in.
By the way, Canada just got closed, America again. Just got closed for the Canadians again this week, so there was a 3-week period of time where the Canadians were allowed to come down here.
Can we go in?
And yes, we can still, for now, we can still go.
But
that won't last long.
Well, I want to go. I wouldn't mind like going across the border for a Luke Combs concert.
Time will tell.
That's not going to happen.
So yeah, your student loans are not due in February. Mason, you've got more time to.
I'm still in school, brother.
Oh, he can write that off till he's 40.
And I'm
taking a class a year. Take a class a year. Worth it.
Continuing it.
Yeah, worth it.
Still in school. Classes start January 10th.
I don't have any student loans. So.
What's it like?
So did you end up with any?
A camper.
Did you end up with any student loans?
Yeah, when I went back to school, I had one for about a decade.
The plan was supposed to be that Zach and I had our college paid for. And lucky for him, I was entirely too ADD and stupid to stay in school. So I pulled out and didn't burn too much of the college fund. But I don't think it quite covered even all of yours, did it?
No, I don't think so. But yeah. What my problem?
Well, you have a PhD, Zach.
I went some from going back to school. No, I went to Ball State.
And he did it in the proper amount of time. I know a lot of Ball State grads that are 7-year degrees.
Yeah.
I didn't have a minor. Like that's how I did that. I didn't take a minor.
Yeah. I think I'm not going to be 7 years and I'm not going to be 6 years, but I could be somewhere between 4 and 6.
I was 25 when I finished my bachelor's degree. I was not in a huge hurry. But I was every bit of 25 and I took off. I had a gap between high school and starting community college. I did Ivy Tech. I took another 6 months to a year off. I don't remember, whatever. But I got done before I would have had to be off my parents' health insurance in the Obama era.
Yeah. So
I know people that were asked to not return to school for a year, and some that maybe have a DUI correlated with their year off from school, stuff like that, where a 4-year degree turns into a six year adventure, but eventually got through it.
They're making it harder and harder when I was in there because half your degree at Ball State is out of your major.
The first 2 years, which you might as well, and in hindsight, it was kind of a transition time. I feel like when we were in college, they were starting to do that. Where now, like I would tell a kid, 100% go to
Ivy Tech.
Ivy Tech. Yeah, you'll get the classes for a third the price.
Not
you
even, can do more them faster. Less than a third.
Oh, yeah. They're free now for Mason. I had to.
Oh, yeah.
They're nothing.
Or at least a lot of people go and then go knock out all the prerequisites because you knock out the prerequisites.
It's the basic out cheap math. All
knock
that
those
stuff.
Out for cheap.
So they have it set up like you get your degree. They're like, oh, do you just want an associate's or do you plan on getting your 4-year? Well, if you say I don't plan on getting my 4-year, that's when they say, okay, just take a bunch of prereqs with one or two
in your like
degree
towards steered your major
yeah. well classes, and then if you're like, well, I just want an associate's, then it's like if I'm getting an associate's degree in accounting, accounting, business ethics. It's like you're actually going
for where you want to kill yourself. Yeah.
That's where you're like just drowning in those business classes. But
I love those business classes.
Evan, you doing okay?
I took about 4 different versions of accounting myself.
I felt like I was camping again for a hot minute.
I thought
sorry.
I heard a snore back there.
Mason, what game you got on the TV now?
Well, I don't have any game. Kevin's watching. I think it's the Michigan State Pittsburgh game.
There we go.
But I'm lucky enough I don't have like a ungodly amount of student loans. I think
you got COVID got your back of boiler. We've covered this.
Yeah, that was forgiven.
That was a show that just disappeared. It vaporized thanks to the school.
Basically, so but from donors basically, and so that disappeared. But then I think I still sit at like 7. It's not like 40, 50 like a lot of people go into. I think I'm at like 7 or 8 grand worth of student loans. After that back boiler thing went away. So
that's a perfect transition into the next thing because the used car market is going crazy. You could sell your car today and pay off your student loans and you'd have to ride your bicycle.
I'd say if I sold my car today, I'd probably only bring what I paid for it.
But okay. But you understand though that like in the back in the day, like 18 months ago, 2 years ago, like when you bought it, if you bought a $30,000 car,
it's worth 20.
It was 20 when they rolled off the lot. It was 20 when you started it after you signed the paperwork.
Did you pour this out of this water bottle?
And so
it's out of a beer can.
Yeah, it was out of a can. It's a stout in a can.
And so for people to be able to buy a car, drive it for any period of time, and then sell that car, a pedestrian, non-collectible, non-sought after car for what they paid for it is bizarre.
I bought a GMC Terrain in January of 2019. I paid $32,000 and change for it. It has 67,000 miles on it. The current year is 2021. 36 hours from now, it'll be 2022. I went to a dealer's website today, clicked on there, tell me a price, and it told me I should expect between, as a trade-in, on a car I paid $32,000 for and I've driven 67,000 miles, it told me I should expect $23,000 to $24,000 for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the housing market. It sounds super exciting. And so you're like, all right, what can I buy for that money?
Right.
Thank you. You realize, well, one, they don't have any stock.
John Phillips says that the used car market is up 38%. John is the official dealer of the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast at Andy Moore Buick GMC in Fishers, Indiana.
Yeah, I bought my Terrain and it's a year older than yours and I have 30 more on it. And I think last time I checked, which was still a couple months ago, I bought it for a little over 24 and I think it was bringing like 19.
It's insanity. So the question is that I have for the crowd is, should I sell Sarah's car when she's not looking?
The Honda? How many miles are on it? Is
she
100,000?
Listening right now?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Eventually.
Allegedly, this CNBC article that we linked in the Patreon says that in the last 4 months, used car market has increased 20% in 4 months. So if we're at this massive peak and we got a car that we're using twice a month.
This is the Honda Accord.
Honda Accord, yeah.
Let it go.
How many miles are on it?
Hell, I don't know.
It's a Honda.
Nobody's let it go. Yeah,
nobody's looked inside of it in 6 months. True.
I tell you what, invest the $120 in it to 5-star, get it detailed and take it somewhere and get it checked.
Especially in her situation where, like, we just talked about this at dinner. Like, the state government doesn't want people working remotely on a chronic level, so I'm still going to the office. But if I was in a situation like she was in where remote work is like, that's her future, there's no plan for her employer to bring her back. If they sent me home, they say, you're going to work remotely and that's our permanent situation and you're only going to go in, I would sell my car in a heartbeat.
My problem is, and this is literally my one problem, is that I hook up the camper on Wednesdays. I do the podcast Thursday and we leave on Friday. And Sarah would be abandoned at home with no car for 2 days a week.
She just cruise Newcastle with the camper?
With the camper on, yeah. That's what we would have to do.
It takes 10 minutes to hook a camper up. So I mean,
he likes to be ready.
Still,
to go.
Yeah. I mean, in this, let it go and get her a golf cart with a license plate. Oh. What can she not do?
Yes,
driving around Newcastle with a golf cart.
And then when we go to Mid Ohio. Golf cart goes in the back of Kevin's truck.
Or in the back of Jared's camper.
Then you save yourself $300 on a golf cart. Now, golf cart prices are also insane.
Yeah. They're falling.
Golf cart became like everything's just gotten crazy expensive. And then the example here, and the one thing, bring a trailer for those aware of bring a trailer. Bring a trailer is where people who have money and burning no holes in their entire house, property, pockets, everything, go to spend it on absurd things. Somebody bought a.
What they've done is ruin Bring a Trailer.
Look, sure, I got the
years. Bring a Trailer, like, is it kind of like an auction online?
It is an auction. It's kind of they kind of revolutionized on vehicle auctions.
Yeah.
And for a while, we knew about them through some car podcast, and somebody like us could have snuck on there and picked up like a Mini Cooper or a Porsche
for a little
or something.
Bit
it was like for a good price. Once the celebrities found it. No,
it was like it's like they curate the cars that they list.
Yes.
So they're not going to list Sirius Honda Accord unless there's something special. And so, and then they do.
I mean, it belongs to lovely Sarah.
And they want you to send,
that's a rude statement.
And they want you to send, you know, 60 pictures and fully document it. If that's the one, then that's gorgeous. And I understand why I went for that. And then they'll have somebody do a full write up on it. And there'll be a whole discussion where at times people have listed vehicles on there. And something's not been quite right about it. And like, it's been a Porsche or something. The Porsche community will jump on that and they will
vet the vehicle.
Yes. They'll say, oh, I know this car's history or whatever. And so the vehicle in question, and a lot of people are not going to care about this, but I understand why this went for this money. 2003 Ford Excursion, 7.3 diesel, four wheel drive, 16,000 miles, $100,000.
It's now, sold for 48 new.
Yes. Now, several things are going for that thing.
Which anybody with a diesel right now that heard that a large three-row plus, and which that's what that is. That's not just a three-row SUV. That is a three-row plus.
It's as big as they got.
Diesel SUV went for less than 50 new. That is insane.
So the pictures of this, it's black. Blacked out every accessory on the outside.
So did it sell, or is it just
listed? It sold for $100,000. That's what it bid. The bidding went to.
It went for more than I paid for my house. I sound like grandpa in 1963 here.
It looks perfect because it's black, some chrome accents.
It does not have Indiana rust.
No rust.
Tan leather interior.
It was a Georgia vehicle.
Several things are going for that vehicle. One is it's a... Bring a Trailer.
I love that Kevin's listening to the show. He just woke up.
So there's a lot of things going for that. One, it's low miles.
Your truck would auction for $3,000.
Two, those are kind of unicorn vehicles. They made them for a certain amount of time, and there's nothing equivalent. There's nothing two vehicles now that fit that class. There's the Excursion and there are 3/4-ton Suburbans and Yukon XLs. Neither of those are being made currently. That's a diesel. It's also a pre-def vehicle. So there's no diesel emission fluids. So there's none of that. And those were simpler motors. The next generation of Ford motor was garbage for diesels.
And so it is a limited edition.
But I mean, if I could find, I would drive that in a heartbeat. And my wife would drive that in a heartbeat.
You'd pull a camper with your camper with that Zach, pulling both.
Yeah. Zach, the family would have to move into it.
Ugh. But those have, I mean, that's an absurd price, but I don't think a clean Excursion's ever been worth less than $40,000 for like the last decade.
Now, my question is, it was $100,000 to that guy. Could he turn around and find another buyer? Because that kind of what, you know, and that's why I tend to, you know, I've had some good luck selling vehicles. I've sold a ton on Craigslist, and I tend to find the guy that is worth that too. Could you turn around and unload that? Who are you going to find with $100,000 that isn't going to buy a used Ferrari, but is going to buy your used
you
Ford
think
Excursion?
That somebody bid it up that far. It wasn't just him saying, "I'll give you $100,000."
Nope, that's
so
true.
There's probably somebody sitting at $99,000.
But it could have been the seller's cousin.
To get to $100,000, there's more than one guy willing to run that up.
Yes. So he could probably say, all right, buddy, I've driven it home.
It has the shittiest interior.
And I'll get it.
Ford didn't redesign that since like 92.
For 105.
No. Oh, no.
I knew five or six guys. I had a job where we traveled the country pulling large trailers, and I knew five or six guys with these. They weren't that nice.
They're trucks.
They weren't that nice
because I was test driving. We bought our Tahoe in 07. Man, that thing is so clean, though. It looks like it is so clean.
It is
Zach, a time capsule.
Zach, you should have wore tighter pants.
It is an 18-year-old shitbox, Zach.
Oh.
It's factory fresh.
But it's a
piece of...
It's a shitbox that'll pull a house off a foundation.
Yes. But the creature comfort, the shit people care about now,
it is so far off. Jeremiah, does it have lane assist?
Ford does it have Apple CarPlay?
Yeah, exactly.
It has
a 6-CD changer.
When this came out,
it's not dual, even in the front.
When this came out, dual climate control was a big thing.
Yeah. Well, people write that down. I mean, I test drove. It does
have heated seats.
I bought a Tahoe in 2007. And I test drove, and like it was amazing. Like Tahoes in like 2000 became like they were the first ones to see like we're going to build something that's got comfort levels of a car. And when I test drove an equivalent level Expedition, which was the similar vehicle for them, the F-150 based one, it was like getting into a truck. Like this is a truck. My Tahoe is not a truck. The previous generation was that thing though. If that's what you like, and man, those are unicorns.
I mean, it has a DVD player, Zach.
And you know, it's like my DVD player in my Tahoe. People are going to understand it's my TV player. It's like a 6-inch screen. It's like the screen. The thing that flips down is this big, and then you got to take it into about half of that, and that's how big the actual screen is.
And it's like this thick coming out of the top.
Yes.
Yeah. A third of your storage space in the back is taken up by the spare tire that lives in the back of the vehicle, so it'll never rust away.
And I don't know if you can tell, but if you look at the rear doors, they are 8 inches thick.
The rear doors, there's an overhead glass, and then it is folding doors in the back. So it's actually three doors.
Mason, I wish they were bulletproof there. I think they're full of air and what cash you wasted on that truck. But I will say, the guys that I knew that had them, we traveled all over, and we usually ran in two-man crews. We would put a twin-size mattress in the back with a flat-screen TV and a PlayStation, I think three. That's how long ago this was. And one guy would play video games while the other guy drove to Colorado. And then trade off driving. And the other guy could sleep comfortably in the back.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. That's a land yacht. That thing is huge.
We used those until the mega cabs came out, and we realized that Cummins.
Even if you don't like cars, please look up the listing for this truck, because the frame is so clean you could eat off of it.
The frame is under. If you live in the north and you bought a 2020, it doesn't look this nice underneath.
Yeah. People in the north, you pull out.
Jeremiah, there are dealer brand new trucks on the good one, on the Chrysler lot
on
here
the
in town.
Lot, that, Grandpa?
Sorry, yeah, that have more rust than that does.
No, you know what they have?
They got it from the trailer ride to the dealership.
There are campers on lots right now that are more rusted than this truck is, and they're 6 months old.
You said this thing was a Georgia title?
It's a Georgia title. The guy that bought it and forgot it. The guy that buys this,
he drove it to Florida
and brings it to
every
Michigan
year.
Is going to kill it.
Like he'll literally park it, go look at that, guys, come out the next day, and it'll be gone. It'll just be a pile of paint.
It's going to completely disappear.
It's like an ad for Z-Bart.
Yeah. Auction prices are nuts right now. A couple weeks ago, I went up to Whitestown.
John Phillips says you can live in your car, but you can't drive your house.
I mean, there was a listing. Somebody was trying to sell.
I want to see that on the business
A brand card. New Escalade, 2021, but they put 20,000 miles on it somehow already, and they won $120,000 for it.
No, okay, so there's another complaint of mine. They say, oh, you're buying a 2021. Well, they let it loose in late 2019.
Right.
We need to get a grip on the release dates.
Right.
Because it's very deceiving, because you're like, oh, look, this thing's only been out.
If it's the date of the year,
they probably
it is a
bought
year
that,
old.
Yeah, they probably bought that in February of 2020.
Right. It's a year old.
I looked on John's website today, and I couldn't find a 2022 truck. So, suck it, Bertram.
Well, because you know what? We're in a chip shortage.
There's four 2021s, and that's all he has. They're probably all sold.
I've only bought like two brand new vehicles ever in my life, and one of them was a dirt bike. And everybody kept asking, well, what year is that? And I was like, oh, it's a 2017, but it actually was an 18 because I bought it so early in 17. I kept confusing.
Well, it used to be that the model years rolled over in like September.
Yeah.
So the 2022s would have come out in like September. And then I know they started playing.
So December, you were buying, you were well into next year's vehicle.
I know that Chevrolet started playing games with that in like 2007 because I think they released the 2007 Tahoe because it was a redesign earlier in the year. In an attempt to try and get sales. And so they keep playing these games with model years.
Where at this point, we're going to see 2026s on the dealership in a year and a half. Yeah.
Auction prices are nuts, like used car prices. We went to auction a couple weeks ago up in Whiteland, and I watched a I think it was a 2007 Chevy Duramax.
That's why.
Simple 2500, 235,000 miles on it. 2008, 42 grand.
Okay, so I bought my 2011 three-quarter ton GMC Duramax full four-door. I bought it for $20,000 3 years ago.
Yep, 42.
What you're saying is I should list that sucker.
You should take it up to Indianapolis Car Exchange instantly.
But you just bought a brand new camper.
Yes.
How the hell are you going to use it next year without your truck?
I'm going to pull truck? It with the little Honda car I have.
Pull it with the G-Wagon.
Yeah.
That fits in it.
Now, yeah, and this is what's messed up. So I looked at it, because I would like a little bit newer truck, a little bit newer. I don't ever buy brand new trucks because that's an immediate loss.
Well, but now it's probably smarter to buy
a brand new. Well, yeah, and that's what I think. This is a weird market, and we have to somehow adjust our thought process to it. I looked at a 2019 GMC full four-door, basically the equivalent of my truck. So obviously it's a 19. It's got newer options. 70,000 miles for $70,000.
So when
that to me rings like I'm being raped by a pirate.
So when I was in the truck market, I had bought my 1500, loved it, whatever. I paid.
Loved it. Was this your Ram with the leaky window?
Loved it. Wrecked it.
Leaky window.
Did Kevin warn you about the window?
The hack job.
Racing slicks on the back of it.
That ended up working. Kevin's didn't. But anyways, 2 weeks after I buy that truck, they have down at Russ Huber, they have a 2018 Denali GMC three-quarter ton Duramax for $31,000.
Should have bought it.
Only 80 or 90,000 on it. $31,000.
That's a $90,000 truck now.
Yeah. I was like, why was this not on the lot when I was looking for trucks? I was like, I was hot about it, actually.
Listen, if you bought it, if you bought a diesel, the injectors would go out and it'd be $9,000 to fix it.
I mean, the truck
it's under warranty.
The truck market was so crazy that people were on camping forums. Yeah, people were crazy. Dealers were calling guys and saying, hey, you want a new truck? We can order you a new truck. It'll be in like 4 months. We'll give you.
We hope.
10 over what you paid for this truck to give it to us now. And the guy's like, yep, just told my kids we're done camping for the year. And they just sold their truck to make some money.
It's nuts.
They foregoed their entire camping season.
And they've never gotten back into it.
I watched a TikTok the other day.
The truck's probably still not done.
Because their truck, I can tell you, I drive through Kokomo a lot for work, and their truck is still sitting in a temporary fenced-in field in Kokomo waiting on a chip. I see... It may not be over 1,000 trucks, but it's a shocking Chrysler. Sight. It is they're Chevys. Oh. It's a shocking sight. Now I've noticed recently they've actually started to weed through the field a bit, but
the ventilator factory.
It's on the that's probably what they got diverted doing right while they're waiting on their chips. They quit stamping out new trucks. But they had a field of they temporary fenced in, and I say temporary, they should have done it permanent because it's still there. A field, acres and acres of brand new trucks waiting on chips.
John Phillips says his truck's been sitting for 6 months. He's still waiting. Six months.
Is it in Kokomo? I could probably help you break in.
Did he order one?
Dilton ready to go.
I know where it is.
Did
what
John
color is
order
it?
One?
But Ford's got a bunch of down Kentucky.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say his is a GMC. They're that Kentucky Speedway.
Kentucky Motor Speedway is chock full of
F-150s. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they built these up. Well, that's what happens. They find a place to store them somewhere nearby. Ford Truck Assembly is in Louisville on the east side, so they go up to Kentucky Speedway. I'm sure that these are Fort Wayne trucks that they're storing at the GM facility in Kokomo.
And you see pictures online and you're like, wow, that's kind of crazy. But you also see fake pictures online of where they're like, oh, look at this field of abandoned 2018s, whatever.
Yeah, go pick one out.
drive through a town, on my way to lunch and to see a field full of trucks. I would love to own one. Well, if you guys would just come off of it.
The thing that's going to be so infuriating is that those are all on the GM side. They're all the old model now.
Oh yeah.
So
and
so
they're going to still sell
massive redesign,
and they're going to sell for $15,000 over sticker.
But do you want to buy the old model year? Do you want to wait? Okay, if you're on the line at this point,
I'll tell you what.
Do you want to go buy one that's got the new infotainment and everything else and the new capabilities and wait a year or two, or do you want the one that's retired?
That's the real thing. Is it? I'm assuming that when the chips come in, it won't be like they won't be getting like, oh, here's a chip for this truck, and here's, they're going to get a load of chips, and they're going to clear out these lots pretty quickly.
Right.
And then this market might crash. Just the used car market might come flying back to normal, because not only will you have the...
That's where I say, do
the
I sell,
demand for the
do
new
I
trucks.
Sell the Honda for $10,000 yeah. grand now and go but, buy it for $2,500 in a year?
But at a certain 100%. Point, and I think I heard on some podcasts, you know, some automakers are saying they hope to be back to normal production by March, but that was before a couple weeks ago, and everything's going back to hell in a handbasket. But you'll have this flood of 12 to 18 month old trucks that have been sitting there waiting for chips that, yeah, they won't be able to sell those forever sticker. They're going to have to sell them.
I don't
for
think 15
or,
be a problem.
15 or 20 under. Because they're 2 year old trucks.
I don't think it's going to matter. You got Dodge, who literally makes old bodies, the classic bodies, and sells them for just as much more over sticker now. It's the same damn body from 3 years ago.
And I think we're missing,
like, people go, oh yeah, I want the classic body. I don't want that new one. I want the classic body.
And I think we're missing the long term issue of, you know, we took the housing market where they just loaned, you know, chihuahuas and stuff, mortgages on houses. Well, when they got their hand slapped for that, the bank said, well, I mean, they didn't go, oh, that, you know, you're right, that was bad business. They said, well, we made a shit ton of money off that. Where else can we do this? Oh, we do it with cars. Because I've walked into a dealership grossly unable to pay for anything that I was looking at and was offered a 9-year loan at, you know, $1,400 a month for something that was going to be worth a third of its original cost in 3 months.
Yep.
And they are continuing to do that. And now they have the leverage of the used market, because if you drive around, lots are empty. I mean, there is a demand, 1,000%. I'm willing to stick with my, you know, poor truck that my wife's been drag racing Porsches with for 2 years and ride it out. Where some of these guys,
you haven't
you
had
know,
a suspension collapse in 9 months.
No, yeah, at least nine. Oh, why do you bring that up? And then the day she got rear-ended, the day before she gave birth to our baby.
I know people's weaknesses, Zach. Do you know that?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm willing to stick with my poor beat-up truck because it still pulls the snot out of my camper, and I'm fine with it. Where some of these guys, you know, that are under 5 foot tall have to go out and prove themselves every right. year with their new dually.
Now, they're down at Russ, they had one of those new TRXs on the lot, and it was there for a day and a half. Sold.
Oh, I see. Those are daily drivers in Indy.
Yeah, so it was sold for like $87. You know what they got down there now?
A Grand Wagoneer.
Grand Wagoneer.
Did you look at the sticker on it?
$107, right?
Yeah. Did you look at the interior, though?
I mean, that thing will wipe your ass. That thing will warm your ass.
How have you guys not test drove this?
It's so pretty. Oh, trust
me. I've contemplated it. Me and my buddy Bryce.
It's time to just go take a test.
I went
up
there to look just at that window sticker. Because I went over like on Christmas, I think, or something. But yeah, I was trying to buy it.
107.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
And I'm sure it will.
It's all right.
No, it just says Grand Wagoneer.
Grab your beers. We're going to sign off. We're going to go test drive it.
Yeah. It's a Chrysler.
Oh, they close at 7.
$107,000 for a Chrysler?
Stellantis.
Yep.
It's a Chrysler.
All right. We're wrapping up car talk.
That's a land yacht.
John Phillips says that he's been told it'll be 2023 at a minimum before things level out. He has no 2021 trucks left, and all of his 2022s are waiting and coming in.
What does John know? He don't work
But what are these trucks that are sitting? Like, the trucks have been sitting at Kentucky Speedway have been sitting there since early 2021. So I'm assuming that some of these vehicles are sitting.
Yeah, I guess that's the question. Chips. The question you're looking for clarification is, are those assigned to dealerships and they're on a sheet and they know they're going to come in? And maybe that's one of the ones they've assigned.
Maybe they are slowly rotating them out. And I can't imagine. I would hope they're not making trucks that don't have chips and then putting chips in other trucks they've been waiting for. Like, I don't know how that flow is going with cars, but I'm assuming there's parking lots full of trucks somewhere that they would clear those out before building new ones.
That,
but you don't know.
So I've noticed.
John says they're Fords. So they're probably just going to be destroyed.
Yeah, yeah. You could just skip the process and go right to the scrap with those. Now I have seen the
if there
lots
are Rams
in Kokomo.
Laying around, they need new transmissions already.
Yeah.
Hey, what year is Sarah's Accord?
I've seen.
I think it's a 2012.
The lots in Kokomo have begun to thin out, and I heard that GM is potentially on the upswing on the chips, but I do believe they are just cranking out trucks, and they will put chips in whatever is the most profitable.
I was told there's 100,000 trucks that are going to be shredded.
It might be cheaper for them.
You have to share your source, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, I would like to get one of those.
Dealership salesman.
I'll put my own damn chip in it.
It might be a situation where it's cheaper for them to write them off and scrap them because, they'll have to sell. It's a $40,000 truck that they'd have to sell for $25,000, and they can stick it in a $40,000 truck now and sell it for $50,000. There have been models. G-Wagons are very popular. G-Wagons have a markup of about $50,000.
No.
And then there's a RAV4 plug-in hybrid that's been going for $12,000 to $15,000 over sticker.
It's
so popular in certain markets.
The market I saw in the new G-Wagons was a new G cost $185,000. Dealer was asking over $3,000.
Yeah.
I have a sticker. I have a picture somebody took at a dealership of a sticker that clearly says market price or says price, market price. And it is over $100,000 markup on a G-Wagon.
I am so happy that going into COVID, I had all the toys I needed. Everything's maintained and we're okay. And I'm not on the side of trying to buy anything. I've got it all. Everything I could possibly need. We've been able to survive the storm.
Okay. John, we should have just had Jonathan Phillips on for this discussion. He's just trying. They had a 2019 G-Wagon stickered for $155,000. They sold it for $179,000.
Yeah. And that was used, right?
Yeah.
That was used.
He said 2019. They do a refresh in 2020. But you can't tell the difference between 2019 and like 1973. They all look the same.
Why don't you just sell your G-Wagon and pay for Jackson's college?
Oh, my God. You know what? They'll be fine. Maybe they'll go into a trade. Hopefully they go into a trade like Dad will. All I can say is we bought an old, because I'm a construction worker, we can afford new stuff. We bought an old G-Wagon, and we bought that sucker just in time a little over a year ago. Yeah. Had I tried to buy that now, I can't imagine what it was. You know, Georgia title 04 with under 75,000 miles. It would be dumb right now.
Oh, yeah. And he pointed out, and so this other thing is driving some of this business is that European automakers are shutting down development and in some cases production of certain engines. So like several of those manufacturers have stopped any development of gasoline engines.
Hyundai, I think
Mercedes just announced that they're like done with V8s.
Well, so Mercedes announced that they are not shipping any V8s to the U.S. for at least 2 years. Now, we'll see if they catch up on their chips. But that means that all the future, that's why the G-Wagon market went nuts, because they're not going to ship any. And the basic motor for a U.S. G-Wagon is just a 5-liter V8, let alone the ridiculous twin turbo AMG that everybody insists on buying, which is what sells in the U.S. is a twin turbo motor that no one knows how to work on. But they announced that, well, we're just short on V8s, so we're not shipping those to you guys. And then went the market.
Good.
It's crazy.
It's crazy times.
So if anybody wants an old one that's not clean, I'll sell it to you for a high dollar.
We're going
to
sell your G-Wagon. We're going to sell Sarah's Honda. And we're getting mopeds. Or
bird scooters.
I will get an Aprilia. I'll find a nice racing moped. A nice Aprilia racing moped.
Sarah's Honda for a private sale is at $9,500.
See? Jeremiah, why are we?
At 120,000 miles, and I don't think it has that many on.
So we're going to do a bonus Patreon, and we're going to show you how to build a listing on Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace of a barely used Honda Accord, right, Jeremiah?
We're gonna list Sarah's phone number, and let her just start taking the calls.
She's gonna be like, "What is going on?"
And we're just gonna tell them make the highest offer you can, and she'll decide if she's gonna sell.
Condition is very good because there's nothing cosmetically wrong with it, you know. Trade in 75.
Zach's very good at detailing. He has two filthy kids.
And we even talked about camper prices were insane. Like my camper is selling for $7,000 more than I paid for it. And a couple years ago,
I wouldn't sell something we use.
I
wouldn't sell anything. But if there's something that's sitting there extra, you go, oh my God.
And that's the problem. Like our Mercedes is our family SUV, so I wouldn't let that go. And I could never replace it. When I bought it, I couldn't find another one I could afford. Like, right. I got lucky. I found a super clean Georgia title, like you mentioned with that excursion. It took me 2 years. You know, people are like, oh, how the heck did you buy it? Well, it took me 2 years to find it. And then I had to drive up to Chicago and, like, beat a guy up to get it. If I sold that now.
Bill Lowry says he's got a 99 F-150, 145,000 miles. He'll sell for mortgage payoff.
And he isn't. Here's the thing.
Trade titles.
Depending on how big your house is, Bill.
Swap.
Might be worth it, man, because that's another, like, 145,000 miles on a vehicle isn't that much.
No. Nope.
That's a low miles for the truck.
If it's 5.4 Triton, though, I think it's already totaled, so I don't know.
I have a lot of friends who paid less, you know, quite a bit less for their houses than that, so I feel like we might see an interesting market swing, trading vehicles for houses.
Yeah.
I watched the camper at auction.
You can get a rental for that Accord, Jeremiah. Come on.
It was 2016.
I was shocked by the people. I had somebody ask me yesterday. They're like, do you know a good spot to sell a camper? I'm like, just get on Facebook Marketplace. Oh, take 30 pictures of it. Be honest about what's going on. And some Yahoo will show up to your house with a suitcase full of cash. And I was you think I'm lying? I'm like, I can introduce you to two or three people that's happened to them.
If you walk outside and pull a Michael Scott and just yell, instead of bankruptcy, yell for sale, camper for sale, three guys with square bodies will just show up with mounts of cash.
There's a Prowler on Main Street that I still think is worth $5,000, and it's destroyed.
Oh, the corner's been open, literally, and the front end's been under a tarp for 2 years. I'm like, yeah, that's probably like 7 G's right there.
Oh my God,
to 10 G's.
Well, you and I should walk up to him. He show off for $500. We'll be partners in it and sell it for 10.
Hey, for the first 2 minutes, you got to walk around and go, you know, just really play it down.
Just a turnabond to the front. I mean, there's plywood visible from outside through the front corner.
Zach's trailer, he had for how many years? 12?
Yeah.
13 years. And he has two little boys that are very active. And by active, I mean they busted some stuff up. And the dealer he traded his into raked the price up on that sucker and had it gone in 9 hours.
They gave me like $3,400 and they had it listed for 10 and sold in 2 days.
And this was before the camper market went crazy.
Obvious water damage.
At this point, Zach could have lit it on fire and sold it for that much.
That was early 2019.
Yeah. Just rip the whole camper off, use it as a trailer, and sell it for $40,000.
Just call it a trailer template.
Yeah, your own. You could. Yeah. I'll sell you the prints separate.
All right, we need to start wrapping this up. We're gonna end up going long. Mason Riley Rottinghouse. I'm gonna give you a birth date next. People can steal your ID.
You want my last four? Okay.
Mason's been in the doxing game for a while.
Start with that hat.
What do you know? What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are,
New Year's resolution. You're gonna go to more concerts next year.
I've got some on the lineup. We're going down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That'll be a good time. I had something I was going to say. Well, we just watched the Boilers win. Congrats to them and those guys over there. Barely beating Tennessee. But I had one. God, now I can't remember it. What the hell was it?
Well, it's your turn to pass it over to Jared, who just walked away because you don't have your...
So that means I'll hurry up and figure something out.
I have an update real quick. Sarah got a new Apple Watch for Christmas.
Right.
And she lost hers probably around the start of the pandemic. 2 days after opening her Apple Watch, she messages me and says, hey, guess what I just found?
Her old watch?
Her watch.
Was it an Apple Watch too?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be my final thoughts. I've spent the last 3 damn days going...
Was it with the red purse?
I don't want to talk about it, Zach.
Yeah, with the red purse.
I just replied back, it's Jesus Christ. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know where she was looking.
I've spent the last 3 days. I'm with T-Mobile. Chris Gall, you need to help him out. So I get insurance. I've had every series of the watch except two. And I had a series 5. I take it off the charger one day, put it on, and it's just... dark, wouldn't turn on, nothing, wouldn't, because usually when you put it on the charger, it'll say, hey, it's charging. It'll show you, even if it's dead, it'll pop up charging. Wouldn't even do that. So I take it in and say, hey, I need to file an insurance claim. Well, we don't do those in-house. Insurance is a private thing itself. You got to deal with them yourself. I'm like, oh, well, give me the number.
You certainly sell insurance.
Yeah, you sell it, but you won't help me with it. So I'm like, give me the number. Okay, I got the number. I call them. Well, I try to fill out a claim online. Oh, we don't have insurance on that product. What? You know, I pay for it. Well, Dad pays for it. I don't pay for it. And so we have it. It's there. And no. Call them. Try to ask about it. Oh, well, we don't cover that. We don't cover you. If you didn't cause the damage, we don't cover you. It says right on your pamphlet you do. Hardware breakdown, system breakdown, basically. Says you cover it? No, we don't cover it. So I had to go back to T-Mobile.
But you didn't cause it.
I didn't cause it.
Just failed.
Just failed.
Now, if you broke it,
they'd cover it. With a small payment.
My expert advice was leave the store.
Go to AppleCare.
Grab a hammer.
Apple Store.
Fucking smack it with a hammer. Bring it back in and say it's broken.
But then I'd have to pay out of pocket for it.
I would drive over it in the parking lot in front of the window.
No, because then there's still a pay on it. I'm not trying to pay anything. I'm not paying for something that it did itself. So I call T-Mobile. They're like, I guess, kind of. They're like, we don't see any usage on that watch. You have a cellular plan, right? I'm like, yeah, and it's worked. I've used it for months. We don't see any usage on it. So I'm like, you're going to replace it because we paid for it through you.
So you went into T-Mobile.
They told me
called the insurance company. And then you contacted T-Mobile
again.
Then
insurance told me, get a hold of T-Mobile. And I'm like, well, the people at the store are just about useless. So I was like, I'll call, you know, the people behind the scenes.
You caught them right after they finished their smoke break out back.
Yeah. Well, they probably needed to go to one. They're mad. But bag so she helped me out. She
really challenged them.
She's like, this is probably the most odd thing I've seen in my like 8 years working for T-Mobile, but we're going to go ahead and...
She's got like employee number 72. She worked for T-Mobile for 8 years consecutively.
She's like, I'm going to go ahead and just exchange yours. You got to go into store today to get my new Apple Watch. Actually, she told me new. It comes in a certified pre-owned.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? This is not... I said, the moment this thing fucks up, I'm getting a new one. It's going to be wrapped, sealed by Apple.
And, I've never met a more entitled student in my life.
Oh, it aggravated me. So then they don't have any clue. I saw the note that Kylie from T-Mobile had put on our account, and it was like three scrolls on a computer she had typed onto our account. And they're like, we don't know what's wrong. I'm like, read. It's in there somewhere. They're like, well, we don't even know how to do an exchange. I'm like, let me call Kylie from T-Mobile. So we had to call corporate to talk to their employees at the franchise to walk them through the whole process. So just for me to pick this thing up today was about an hour and a half of my time. So I'm not going to shout out T-Mobile in Newcastle, Indiana.
What time is it now? He touches his phone.
8:50.
He doesn't look at the damn watch.
I'm looking at a watch that just seems frozen.
That might have been the longest first world problem story I've ever heard in my entire life. Well,
did you know there's a pandemic?
Don't care. I don't care.
By the way, my G-Wagon was double parked.
Yeah.
Valid.
He drove the Honda today.
I drove the Honda today. I was going to get ridiculed by you guys.
What but I should have
drove. Well, it's going to be an exciting ride home, I'll tell you that. And I should have drove it because I brought some of Zach's wife's Christmas gifts, didn't show up in time. And then I tried to cram the one, which was a like a
whiteboard. Don't ruin Christmas.
No, she knows. We already told her. I told her how it wouldn't fit. I tried to cram it in the trunk. Not even close. Tried to cram it in the passenger seat.
It's a convertible. You had tons of room if you really wanted it.
If I was willing. You know what? I loaned my heated motorcycle gear to a friend. Otherwise, I could have suffered through that. Just put the helmet on, the heated vest on.
It's got like heated seats and like some special
heat. The seats aren't heated, but it does. I mean, it's a car that has heat.
Put the top down and put some hair in
it. You still have that old burgundy car too?
No, he got rid of the Beamer. I got awesome.
I bought the Honda and I got rid of the BMW. I had a really cool, rusty BMW.
Didn't have 90, like comic.
Yes, it had Zelda headliner in it. It was a 96 328i wagon.
That's probably worth $35,900 now.
Oh, dude, I sold that for like $1,200. Yeah. That thing with a stick with a 5-speed transmission, which they did not ship to the U.S. Somebody did it custom, probably not good custom. In the way it drove, but still now would be worth $42,000. And I let it go for like $1,200 in a crappy dirt bike.
Well, you still have
the crappy dirt bike.
lost my ass. There's so much. I'll tell you what I had, in high school, my first truck. So Zach got his first car was a 92 Dakota.
I still have it.
And I was mad and I wanted to pick up trucks. So I went and bought a 86.
88. No, it was 86.
Yeah. 86. Regular cab, short bed, two-wheel drive Chevy Silverado square body, which now when I bought it was $5,000. It was super clean. When I sold it for same money, you know, 2 years later, great. Now what worth $98,000?
Yeah. And Mark Brim might come home from South Dakota just to get it.
Yeah.
There's a 93 Dakota listed in town.
Look at that truck
for $5,000. Dude,
that two tone is way better than your two tone.
Okay.
Hold on. The paint is still on the hood, so that shows that's repainted because Chrysler.
Yeah.
Candy maker dusting.
Every
a candy.
Chrysler for when we were all in high school is back to nothing.
Okay, but here's Kevin? It's like a 95. He wants $5,000 for it. I paid $6,500 for my 92 in 1999.
And now yours has a monster 360 V8
And a lot of rust. Mine doesn't look that good. Man, that's a
yeah,
good
but I'm truck. Sorry. White with gray and
it's been repainted. It's 100% been repainted because there's not a 95.
Let's see it.
There's not a 95 in existence that has the original paint that wasn't stored in a coal mine.
Especially white and silver were two colors that were particularly bad for flaking.
Yes. That had to be stored underground.
It should be primer.
If that's local, that's you. BS.
I wonder if it's a 318. I bet it's 318.
See, so, I could sell Sarah's car, pocket $4,000, and she could roll it
right by that. Head. And then sell Zach the doors.
They're great. Yeah, I need the doors. I need the doors off of it.
Actually, we just need a good welder. Who was the guy that fixed your camper?
Steve Vitato.
You just need Vitato to get some fresh hinges and weld your doors back on. And you've got a very, very quick, dangerous Dakota, which I don't know why you have.
So have you got any final thoughts for me?
Me?
Anybody? I think we're still on Jared. We'll give him one last go at it here. But if not, it can be your turn.
No, I appreciate the invite tonight.
I appreciate knowing about it. Oh wait,
Yeah, Zach found out when I asked him what time Jared, I should be here.
Jared ruined the surprise.
I feel like this is like an episode at a time intervention for something I don't know what's going on yet. We're just gonna keep bringing people from
next week. I'll give everybody a heads up.
Wait until it's Mom and I co-host.
Yes, and then we're gonna have Jackson sitting on Zach's lap, and we're gonna see how much Zach has to say.
And it's gonna be dinosaur talk in February.
Oh my God.
Owen got all the dinosaurs for Christmas.
So yeah, I had dinner with Zach and the family. So I went to, I tried to surprise my mother, which I should have known was just waste of time. Actually, I tried to surprise everybody. So I showed up early at my mom's. The house was dark. And by dark, I mean it only had 842 Christmas lights on. Zach can vouch for this. She lights the house with Christmas lights year round, it seems like. So then I went and met him for dinner. At Primo, which Primo was great. And
chicken and nachi tonight, I saw, by the way.
Yes. And I will say the...
No, we're Hoosiers. It's nachi. It's one step above nachos, but in soup.
Noki.
So anyone, if you see anyone in Newcastle that is looking for some extra cash and is a little bit motivated, you know, I waited tables outside, out of high school and had a really good time and I made great money. And Primo, I met... Thanks to them being a little bit short staffed, Zach, I met half the ownership.
Yep. 2/3.
So they were great people. They did a great job of, and as somebody that managed a restaurant too, they did a great job of, they were short staffed. So what they did not do is pile their tables.
To become an electrician.
I don't know how I lived on that money in the back. Like as a manager. Now what's sad is as a server made great money. I took a management job at a restaurant and basically you're signing up for welfare.
For $9.50 an hour.
Oh, $9.50, sir, $6.25 as a manager. I had to go back to bartending to survive. But sitting at Primo tonight, they were short staffed.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah.
Well, I found out by sitting in front of my mother's empty house. So you want everybody's getting surprises. But anybody in Newcastle that is a decent, motivated server, which you have to be a little bit quick on your feet and a little bit polite. And I was absolutely shocked at I felt being someone that waited tables and got stuck in the weeds, as we call it, watching these folks dig out and be smart enough to not sit a bunch of tables and bury themselves beyond recognition. Everyone that was running their tails off was absolutely beyond polite. Yeah. They were beyond helpful. They were beyond happy to help. And when you have that kind of attitude, you're more willing to be patient when you see that somebody is going through. So if you're in Newcastle, go to Primo.
Did you get the pizza?
Yes, we got the pizza. Zach, let me try their ribs tonight. Their ribs were fantastic.
Special this weekend. They were delightful.
Yes,
because I think that they're one of the chefs there is like quite into barbecue. So he knows what he's doing.
And if you're looking for some part-time work or if you're a decent server, go to Primo, please. I'm sure people and everybody in there I'm shocked. I'm used to just cranky people in Indianapolis, but everybody in there, nobody waiting on a table was mad to be waiting on a table. They were all very polite.
They're good enough people that when they got to reopen after the pandemic shutdown initially and they did carry out only, the first night they were like turning people away because they had a 4-hour wait for carry out because they're good people there.
Yes. Go, please, get a job there. Yeah. If you're between college classes, go, please, get a job at Primo. I guarantee you'll be treated like gold.
Mason's got like 2 weeks before he starts his new job. He could go wait tables and
man, I don't know.
Mason, you could just yell stuff from the kitchen probably. Make like $4 an hour.
You know, Mason
would rage quit in an hour. Yeah.
Mason,
I would pay $100
to see
that.
Mason turns his hat backwards, he looks like kitchen staff.
Yes. Except he's too...
I just see him yelling, order up, just in the back.
Hey. And slapping tickets on spiky things.
Stop taking orders.
Yeah.
It's my break.
Yeah, I'm done.
But it was nice to come to, and a good excuse to come to Newcastle, see family, have a nice dinner. I am anxious for another dinner at the Elks.
Twice in 7 days you've been in town.
I know, which is, yeah, crazy on my work schedule.
Well, you can come to the Elks on Friday.
I know. I miss.
11:30 at night. They're going to have some biscuits and gravy.
The big B&G fundraiser.
Oh. Yeah, I miss my Friday nights at the Newcastle Elks.
Are they open for dinner on Friday night?
Normally. I don't know what's happening tomorrow. I have not looked to see if there's a full menu or what's going on.
So normally
I will be in the building tomorrow, though.
Yes. Normally, Friday nights are a open dinner night.
Tomorrow's New Year's. Been a lot of reservations.
So which the whole time Zach and I were in college was like our normal routine was the Newcastle Elks, get some wings or get a 484 burger.
Yeah.
And I do miss my Friday nights at the Elks. But yes, it was good. Good excuse to come visit, hang out with family and some friends, and I appreciate the invite to the show.
Very good.
Go see Mary at Beehive. I'm going to steal Zach's Beehive.
L&K's got some specials.
And L&K's got some good. Always got some good beef.
If you want to be wildly entertained by some Boss Hog alum, check out Cade's Facebook feed this week.
Wait until the kids are in bed.
Danny was doing what Danny does. I don't have much. Just I'll do the one. Just be smart tomorrow night. Don't drink and drive. Look me up on Facebook if you need a ride and you're around Newcastle. I'll give somebody a ride. I'm always sober.
Don't drink and drive.
Yeah, just don't drink and drive.
Cruise and sip.
If you take him up on that, please put pictures and video.
Yeah. I'm going to have to plastic.
I might get half pop just to have Zach drive me around town tomorrow night.
I'm going to ask him to drive me from my house to somebody's house in Indy.
In Newcastle.
How free are you?
It's a Henry County offer.
I'm your brother. My God. They shared a womb.
Yeah. Thanks to Kevin for coming and hanging out.
He's my driver tonight. You're not yours. All right. This has been fun. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will, we'll see you guys in the next calendar year. Another full year of Boss Hog coming your way.
See you next year.